Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to GE T&D India Limited earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Tanvi Gupta from GE T&D India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, everyone. We welcome you all to the GE T&D India Limited earnings call for the second quarter and half year of financial year ending 2023-24. I'm Tanvi Gupta from GE T&D India Finance and Investor Relationship team. We're delighted to have you all here on this call. During the call, we'll discuss the company's financial performance, including operational highlights. We'll share the key updates and we'll address the questions if you have any. Before we begin, I would like to highlight a few important notes for today's call. Firstly, as we just have declared the results for the second quarter and half year of the financial year 2023-24, the said results are now available on our company website. Further, we have also prepared an analyst presentation for the quarter, which will be under discussion during the call. The said presentation we have already emailed to you and is also available on our company's website. Also, I would like to take a moment to remind everyone that today's discussion may contain few forward-looking statements which are subject to risk and uncertainties. These statements are based on our current expectations, and actual results may differ materially from those expressed or implied. We encourage you to refer to our public filings and disclosures for a comprehensive understanding of the factors that could impact our future performance. With this, now let me introduce the GE T&D India management team available on this call. During the call, we'll be joined by Mr. Sandeep Zanzaria, CEO and MD of the company. Along with him, we are also joined by Mr. Sushil Kumar, Whole-Time Director and CFO of the company, Mr. Abhishek Srivastava, Head Business Operations, Mr. Anshul Madan, Communications Leader, and Ms. Anupriya Garg, Company Secretary of GE T&D India Limited. We'll be having a detailed question and answer session towards the end of the presentation where you can ask your question and seek clarification on any topic of your interest. Thank you once again for joining us today. We appreciate your continued support and trust in GE T&D India Limited. Now I'll hand over the call to Sandeep for his opening remarks. Over to you, Sandeep.
Thanks, Tanvi. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you and your loved ones are doing well. Wishing you a happy Diwali in advance. Welcome to a quarterly call for discussion on the results of Q2 of financial year 23-24. I'll be sharing the top highlights, and subsequent to that, my other team members will take you through the numbers and other operational details. Starting with orders, we are excited to share that continued surge in our order book for Q2, driven by India's energy transition need and the government's focus on the renewable energy scheme. We secured orders worth 11 billion INR. Compared to an approximately 5 billion INR in the corresponding quarter of the previous financial year, registering a growth of more than 100% year on year. With this, our backlog at the end of the quarter is quite healthy and has improved from 37 billion to 43 billion Indian rupees. This growth is a testament to our capacity to meet the evolving needs of India's power market. A noteworthy highlight here is that we have received orders. Received this growth in orders in all our segments, which is like projects, high voltage products, that is GIS, AIS products, power transformers, and also grid automation. This increase in our order reinforces our position as one of the market leaders in the segment. Apart from our regular inflow of orders from export market, we have received a 225 kV GIS switchgear supply order from Senegal. These orders not only demonstrate the trust our customers place in us, but also highlight our ability to deliver high-quality, reliable grid equipment that are critical to the strengthening of India's transmission infrastructure. Our sales almost remained flat, as in the corresponding quarter of the previous financial year at around 7 billion INR. But you will note a significant increase in our profit before tax of approximately 503 million Indian rupees compared to 101 million Indian rupees for the corresponding Q2 of FY 22-23, and 889 MINR for H1 23-24 against a 203 MINR for H1 22-23. This achievement can be attributed to the several strategic initiatives aligned with best practices. Firstly, our continuous focus on adopting a lean mindset and implementing operational efficiencies has allowed us to streamline our processes and optimize resource allocation. Additionally, our unwavering commitment to enhance our execution capabilities has translated into improved cost management, ultimately strengthening our bottom line. Another highlight was that our net debt as of the quarter ending September 2023 stands as 114 million Indian INR, making a reduction of more than 1 billion compared to June 2023 and a reduction of 1.6 billion compared to March 23. I would like to stress that cash remains our key focus in all our business processes. The accomplishment of this quarter not only highlights our expertise but also showcases our ability to provide innovative solutions that meet the evolving demands of India's energy landscape. At GT&D, we take pride in being at the forefront of this transformative journey, and we look forward to a future where we recognize that the energy sector is evolving at an unprecedented pace, and our strategy is closely aligned with India's national goals and global trends. As we move forward, our strategic focus remains firmly centered on driving innovation, efficiency, and reliability in India's rapidly evolving energy landscape. We are dedicated to co-creating a sustainable and resilient energy future for India and eagerly anticipate the exciting opportunities that lie ahead. Thank you, and now I invite Abhishek, our project business head, to share further details and operational highlight. Abhishek.
So thanks, Sandeep. Good evening to all. So I will take you all through the key operational success that we have achieved in the second quarter of the financial year. So we added the four key substations to the Indian transmission network. The first one was UPPTCL Shahupuri, which is a 220 kV GIS built in the city of Varanasi and serving the close by area and vicinity. The second was Varora Kurnool Transmission Limited substation project, in which we commissioned two key substations. One was at Warangal and other one at Chilugurupeta. This was a very critical scheme, additional interconnecting link which was formed to import power from into the southern region from western region. These are 765 by 400 kV AIS substations, and setup of these substation scheme has added 3,500 MVA of transformation capacity. So the scope that GE executed was building up the substation along with supply of transformer and reactor. So this is a very key project, and if I talk about the criticality of this, this is the largest 765 kV double circuit TBCB project done in India, and it was great for GE to be partner with Adani in building up this substation. And this has been a lot of challenging times. So finally, we commissioned two key substations in this, and the fourth one was KCB Shornur, in which we set up a 110 kV GIS substation for supplying power to the district of Palakkad. So these are a few of the key highlights, operational success, wherein we commissioned the substation and handed over to these substations to the utilities. So with this, I hand over to Sushil to take us through further details.
Thanks, Abhishek. Good evening, everyone. Wish you a very happy Diwali. Sandeep talked about our strong financial performance in his beginning speech. I'll be taking a few pages on our financial performance to make a deep dive on some of the key numbers that we delivered in this quarter. First, on the page 5 of the investor presentation, talking about orders, which have where we have delivered more than 100% growth compared to the last second quarter of the last financial year. So in the last year, we had delivered about 5 billion of orders, but this year, in the second quarter, we have about 10.8 billion of orders. This growth is across the board, across all our business segments, and has been quite diverse in nature, meaning we have received orders from private customers, government customers. We have received orders from the export markets. We have received orders from the EPC customers. and for various business lines. The details of the projects are given in the presentation. I'll not repeat them, but just wanted to highlight that it's a very strong order growth versus last year across the board. Just one more clarification, that we recently made a stock exchange declaration of receiving 5 billion orders. That order achievement is for the month of October. So is not a part of the numbers that we are presenting today. That will be counted as order booking in quarter three of the financial year. Now, talking about the P&L performance in the next page, while the revenues remain flat at around 7 billion for the quarter, we saw a significant improvement in our operations with the initiatives taken in the last few years, as Sandeep highlighted, which included areas like lean, productivity improvement, changing the mix of our orders, taking the secure orders with better terms and so on. All those initiatives have helped us to achieve a EBITDA of about 10% to the extent of 698 million in the quarter, representing more than 100% increase versus last year. So the EBITDA has gone up by two times versus the last year. Same improvement has flown to the profit before tax. We achieved about 503 million of profit before tax, which is 5x, almost 5x of the quarter two performance in the last financial year. At the same time, Sandeep highlighted about our net debt coming significantly down. Last year, quarter two, we had about 3.6 billion of outstanding debt. And we have made a significant progress in last 1 year. We have repaid most of the debt and we are at around break-even, close to a break-even debt situation or no debt situation. We have minus 114 million of debt as of end of the September. It's a very improved position versus last 1 year. We have made a significant progress. Similar improvement across the board on H1 performance. H1, the revenues were 14 billion, higher by 9%. Versus the last year H1. EBITDA at 1.3 billion, again 2x of the last year performance. Profit before tax is around 889 million, 4x of the profit before tax in the last year half. So made a significant progress. Moving to the next page, where we have given the split of our order booking and revenue between domestic and export segment. For the 10.8 billion orders that we booked in the current financial year Q2, we have 24% of the orders coming from the export market and about 76% orders coming from domestic market. On revenue side, 29% of the revenue is from the export segment and 71% revenue from the domestic market. 43 billion orders in hand have about 75% of the orders from the private segment customers, 15% of the orders from the central utility and PSU, and 10% of the orders in hand from the state utilities. So this is overall the quarter two number, and now we'll be happy to answer your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Renu Baid Pugalia from IIFL Securities. Please proceed.
Yeah, good evening, sir, and congratulations for profitable growth. My first question is, if you look on the execution side, are there still headwinds in the domestic market in terms of stepping up the execution run rate, or it's more to do in terms of the entire supply chain and the project timelines?
So, Renu, we are not seeing any headwinds primarily on the supply chain. Definitely, the supply chain is slightly extended, but the orders what we have received, taking into consideration the time frame which today our sub-suppliers are committing to us.
Got it. Can you share some color in terms of the broad revenue mix for the current quarter in terms of products, projects, automation solutions? because that is clearly reflective in the gross margin profile that you've reported this quarter.
So we have about 12% of the revenue coming from the services and software business put together.
Mm-hmm.
And just give me, maybe I'll answer before the next question about the split of rest 88% between the product and project business.
Sure. Secondly, if we see a pretty impressive improvement in the working capital and reduction of debt on books, to what extent do you think this improvement is sustainable, and is it also a function of the step up in orders that we've seen? So the cycle of advances and the entire working capital cycle, cash conversion cycle has seen a pickup in terms of improvement on books.
Yes, so it is a factor of all the improvement actions that we have taken, meaning advances, yes. If we look at the financial statements, around in the 1.6 billion cash that we have generated in the first half, around 0.5 billion or about 50 crore is coming from the down payments that we have received on the new order. The rest of the improvement is mostly from the actions across the board, be it on account of realization of past dues or trade receivables, reduction in the inventory through the lean initiative, and also making sure, as you have been talking about conference call for last many quarters, we talked about selectivity of the order, which means secured payment terms, the payment terms with lesser credit period and so on. So that means the profit which we realize is also getting converted into cash. So cash generation is a combination of profit converted to cash plus working capital improvement across the board.
Yes. And lastly, Sandeep, you also shared some inputs. As in, we have been talking pretty positive in terms of the domestic order pipeline improving on a strong note, the GEC projects coming through and exports also picking up. So any comments in terms of how the order pipeline is looking for the next 6 to 12 months? And do we perceive any slowdown in the early part of the next fiscal year because of elections? Thank you.
So we are looking at whatever run rate we are maintaining. So we are looking at a quite healthy growth or sustainable order intake pipeline, at least for next 6 to 12 months or any. That will be, because you know, GC projects and all, of course now they have started coming up at a regular interval and the finalization is also happening. But with the visibility, at least we are pretty confident of next 12 months. Yeah, we will be able to maintain the run rate.
Coming back to your first question on the split of revenue between project and product. So around 60 to 65% of the revenue are from the product business, 20 to 25% of the revenue from the project business, and the rest revenue is from the services and software business.
Thanks, Mark, and best luck team, and get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, before we move to the next question, a reminder to the participant, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Janak Lotwala, an individual investor. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
First of all, many congratulations team for a great set of results. My first question is around the operating margins per se. Also, while there is a significant operating leverage that seems to be kicking in and helping our net profitability quarter on quarter, what is the sustainable margin in terms of EBITDA margin we are looking at? Or we look to, what is our healthy EBITDA margin per se?
So the current margin of, let's say, gross profit of around 36-37% and 10% EBITDA is already healthy if we compare with the past many years of performance. However, having said that, management always endeavor to perform better, and this can have multiple ways of improvement. First, targeting better profitability in the order, then many execution initiatives that Sandeep talked about, including lean productivity, efficiency, and so on. And the last one being
last couple of actions being, first of all, the control over fixed expenses as a structure cost and the working capital improvement, which then helps to save the financial cost. So we'll continue to work on the improvement as a management on these numbers.
So we see going this into double digits, we expect more improvement on this front in quarters to come, you're saying?
So I'm not giving a forward-looking guidance. What I'm saying is that our endeavor is to always improve, but the quarter-on-quarter number will always depend on the mix of project products and services. We'll continue to work on this direction.
Okay, sir. Fair enough. And my second question is around the order book. While our order book seems to be very healthy, around 4,500 crores of orders pending, any particular number there that we are looking at in executing over next period of next 12 months?
So basically, hi Janak. So Sandeep here. So basically, what we do is that we keep on assessing the customer requirement in terms of what are the delivery needs, and also that what kind of capacities we have, do we have the slot for that, and accordingly we take the order. So if you really look at our run rate, I think we are looking at an order intake of about close to 1,000 crores. So eventually the run rate which needs to go in few quarters when it gets levelized, again depending upon the product and project mix and all, will be somewhere near that number. That is the expectation.
Okay. Thank you, and I wish you all the best for quarters to come.
Thank you, Janak.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. We have a next follow-up question from the line of Mr. Renu Baid Pugalia from IIFL Securities. Please proceed. Ms. Renu, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity again. So if you look at this quarterly run rate of 1,000 crores of inflows being sustainable, and October again, we have a large order of 500 crores announced in addition to the base orders that we continue. Do you think sometime coming in the going back to the next fiscal year, we may start feeling a pinch on the capacity side? Are there any capacity expansion plans? So, you know, what are the current utilization levels, and you think in the next 12-18 months, if the new order flow momentum sustains, will that trigger some capacity debottlenecking in certain product lines, etc.?
So, you know, we keep on, like you said, we keep on analyzing that, yes, in which segment the orders are coming, and then how these capacities can be debottlenecked. And of course, one of the main principle of lean is also that how to debottleneck and how to improve the productivity. So it's basically a kind of a mindset change also. And on our global, under the global directive, we keep on working on that. Depending upon the situation, yes, we will be looking into the time frame, and also, we are also trying to see that which capacities are like which area in the market is something where which we need to target more in terms of improving the margins and improving the order profile.
Right. So, for instance, for the transformer segment of the market, the domestic market is already tight in terms of capacities, and we were also expecting large export orders on this side. Do you think at least within the product business line, transformer segment could see some capacity enhancements?
So it will be very difficult to tell now, but yes, in case if we face such a constraint, definitely that is something we will look forward to.
Got it. Secondly, can you also share certain updates in terms of progress on the HVDC projects? Badla has also seen our even pricing, price submission happening there. So where are we in terms of project timelines? Do we expect any delays? And also on the export opportunity on the HVDC products, how are those developments shaping up?
So for Badla, Fatehpur, as you know, the bidding has already started for the developers. of course, Bhadla-Fatehpur being such a large project requires a huge amount of system studies and also creating a complete bid of an HVDC takes time. So we are working with few developers who are there. And also regarding the export market, yes, definitely we keep on analyzing with our global teams, because you know, for HVDC and all those applications, it is ultimately the acceptance of the international customers of our local factories is also a critical point. So based on that, we keep on analyzing, and wherever it is beneficial for the company, those orders will be targeted and will be taken.
Got it. All right, sir. Thank you so much, and best wishes for Diwali to your team. Thank you.
Thank you, Renu. And to you as well.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Janak Lotwala, an individual investor. Please proceed.
Hi. Thank you, sir. I have a follow-up question around the order book and the business environment that we're operating in. Again, while we have a very strong and healthy order book and there are a lot of tailwinds in the business, if you were to describe what are the certain three, four top factors that can be the that can give key sources of risk to the execution over the next 12, 24 months, what can be the three, four areas of uncertainties or risk that we have to keep in mind as investors?
So I think today one of the biggest risks what we see in today's environment based on our experience of last 1 to 2 years is geopolitical factors, you know. For example, the Russia-Ukraine war, it kind of disrupted the whole supply chain in a very big way. So that is one area where we keep on constantly monitoring, because that is something which can impact to a great extent the supply chain situation. So that is one. And second, also for many of our product on subcomponent side, we are also dependent on single source suppliers. So that also the company is working to develop alternate sources and try to see that we de-risk ourselves from any such situation where that supplier is not able to perform. And apart from that, also the way the renewable market is now growing, and along with that the private transmission is growing. So like in the power generation segment, there was a time when a lot of people entered, and then there was a challenge on the financial side. So we try, and as Sushil said, that we try to make a proper assessment and ensure that with the companies which we are entering into and doing business are very robust and under a set of conditions which clearly minimizes the risk for us.
Got it. So similar to what you mentioned about sourcing from single suppliers, do we have any customer concentration risk as well? What are the revenues that our top 5, 10 customers are contributing to, and are there any measures on that front? What is our customer profile look like in terms of revenue concentration?
So if I tell you that we don't have this type of a situation for us, because I think you would have seen the presentation also, we have kind of a very diversified portfolio of customers. So like we are doing with generating companies, we are doing with EPC companies, we are doing with private transmission companies, we are doing part with state utilities. So
And industry also.
For example, Hindalcos and Reliance of the world. So it is that we have a very diversified portfolio in terms of customers. So today we don't have any customer where we are dependent, like on one customer we are dependent for 25-30% of our revenue. We don't have any such customer in our portfolio.
Got it, sir. That's it from my side, and thank you, and wish greetings for the festival season to come, sir.
Same to you, Jay. Thank you, Janak.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhijit from Yes Securities. Please proceed.
Yeah, good evening, sir.
So my question is on the supply-demand balance from a slightly longer-term perspective. We have seen demand spurt in the last 2-3 quarters. We have seen increased tendering activity, increased tendering pipeline pertaining to GEC. So demand is picking up, and in line with that, a lot of players have put up capacities in transformers, switchgear, etc. So going forward, let's say from a perspective of 2-3 years, so when do you see these capacities catching up with the demand and therefore having an impact on pricing and margins? So right now, we are in the cycle of expanding margins. I'm sure the bidding margins are also pretty attractive in this cycle. But sir, since a lot of players are expanding their capacities, how can we look at this scenario going forward in the next 2-3 years?
So, I think going forward, when we look at 2-3 years, so of course we cannot create, like, for example, suddenly we cannot decide, like, for example, when we look at GC corridors, etc. At one point of time, GC corridors were taking more than 1 year for decision making, or sometimes it was more than 1 year also for decision making. So first we have to also see the sustainability of GC corridor at a regular interval of ordering. That is one thing what we have to have that confidence. That is first aspect. Second, also when you today try to build up a capacity, it is not something which can be built in like 6 to 8 months time. So we also have to see the kind of new capacities building up, how much time it takes. And also it is not only the capacities which have to be built up, it is also you have to see that you have the back end, the supply chain, how you are comfortable with that supply chain and that specific product to support you in terms of those deliveries. That is the second factor. Third and the most important thing, Abhijit, is that we keep on analyzing this thing, and then there are a lot of factors how you debottleneck your capacities and try to increase on an incremental basis. So that's a constant endeavor we keep on doing, and in this scenario also, at least that is what will be the focus of the company as well.
Right. Sir, if you can point out what is the current capacity utilization for us in the higher KV category, like 765 KV? Is it possible to quantify that?
So it is very difficult to quantify, Abhijit, but I would only put it as like pretty high.
You're saying pretty high?
Yeah.
Okay. And secondly, sir, on the state order book from the state side, so last 4-5 quarters sequentially, I've seen the state order book decline quarter on quarter. Now it is somewhere around 400 odd crores. So is this something, a conscious decision that we are going slow on state orders because of certain issues that we are facing?
Yeah, so I believe we had taken a conscious decision to move from state and to concentrate more on private sector because of the flexibility it offers. And so state is more like L1 bidding, reverse auctions and other things. So that's what the conscious decision was made, to shift more from state towards more from private. And I think the improvement in results for your team is one of the actions that was taken as resulted into these results.
Right. So that's it from my end. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Abhijit.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Harshit Kapadia from Elara Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congrats for a good set of numbers. So just a clarification on HVDC. What CA has approved is of 13,200 crore as a total project size for the Badla part. Now, how much would be the HVDC portion within that, and what would be the APC portion, and will it be a given to a single company, or could there be a multiple companies who would be winning it? And if you can highlight, how could be the L1 or L2 ratio would be?
So Harshit, first of all, we are not aware how CA has reached that budget, so probably that is for them to answer. But CA has taken out this tender on TBCB route. On TBCB route, when it will be awarded, it will be awarded to a developer, and the scope of developer will be from acquiring land to building and commissioning the project and running the project with its O&M for 35 years, including building the transmission line. This depends upon which developer wins, because that developer, from example, a developer X to developer Y may have a different model of procurement. Like somebody can say that the civil work they will do, somebody might split line into four parts, somebody might split line into two parts, somebody can give the HVDC terminal without construction, somebody can give HVDC terminal with construction. This is the kind of an individual strategy of each and every developer. It will be very difficult for us to comment on that.
Any understanding on what is the cost of, let's say, an HVDC line, HVDC terminal, or HVDC substation if it is coming up? Any rough understanding would be very helpful, sir.
No, sir, it will be too premature because, you know, we have just started engaging and some at a very preliminary stage. For such a large project, it is very difficult to make a assessment of the price as of now.
Do you expect that every year there would be one HVDC project which could be coming out for tendering, or do you think there will be a span it over next 7 to 8 years? It won't be over every year, your outlook?
I think for next 3 to 4 years, yes, definitely there will be one every year.
Okay. Given that, you know, Europe has also looking in HVDC, you know, pipeline, do you think the aggression among the companies like, you know, GE as well as its competitor would be not so aggressive, or would be comparatively much softer, or what's your perception over there, sir? Because the pipeline is better in India as well as abroad, so, and players are very handful.
I would see, this is too early to discuss about the bidding strategy, and on a public forum, these things cannot be disclosed.
Okay.
I mean, it will be very difficult to comment on what is going to be the competitive strategy as well.
Understood. Sir, secondly, on your strategy on going more towards private, so is there a number that you have in mind that we want certain amount of, you know, business coming from private for the transformer side right now? What is the ratio and what's your target, sir?
I will not use the word private, but I will say that, okay, what we are today looking forward to is more, for example, customers where you have assured payment, where you have timely payment coming, where the processes are very well aligned. If I look at, for example, Power Grid Corporation, they are like one of the best paymasters with a very aligned process, a very defined and a transparent process. I think it's not between a private or a public sector. Public, it is basically more that where the process and payments do come on much faster timelines.
Understood, sir. I wish you all the best and a happy Diwali to your team as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Harshit, and same to you as well.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Shyam Maheshwari from Aditya Birla Mutual Fund. Please proceed.
Yes. Hi, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Just wanted to understand, you know, we had taken an approval for some related party kind of transactions as per the last annual report. Wanted to check if there has been any update on the same. Have we been, you know, receiving inquiries from those two related parties that you mentioned?
I think, hi Shyam. If there will be any update, it will be known through, I think we'll be communicating. As of today, there is no update.
This is Sushil this side. We have taken one approval for large order.
Okay.
That is still under negotiation. It's not yet finalized.
Understood. Okay. That's it from my side. All the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Umesh Raut from PhillipCapital. Please proceed.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, first of all, congratulations for the good set of numbers. My first question pertains to competition from Chinese players.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Umesh. There is some background noise from your end. Your voice is not clear.
Is it fine now? Hello?
Yeah, it is little better. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So my first question is actually pertaining to Chinese competition and how it is faring right now. Are you seeing any pressure coming in from some products from China or the country?
Umesh, we are still not able to hear you. Could you please be a bit louder or join in from another?
Can we be and then join through other group?
Sure, Umesh. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Tanay Russell from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just got two questions. The first question, you know, like in the current scenario, are you seeing any competition from the Chinese players? Are there any products being dumped from the Chinese players as such?
No, we are not.
Okay. So what will be the market share presently for the Chinese players in transformer like products?
I think it would be very less because now at least in TBCB and other utility segment, Chinese are not allowed to participate. So it will be very minuscule.
Okay. Sir, and given the integration of the renewables will be in the large scale now, so how do you see the STATCOM opportunity? How big is that opportunity?
So STATCOM we see as a big opportunity because renewable integration definitely is going to require a lot of STATCOM projects, especially where the large renewable projects are getting connected. Currently seen one or two projects which have got finalized. I think going forward, maybe after kind of a 6 months, 8 months time frame, we will see a much larger volume of STATCOM getting finalized. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you. And sir, you know, like if you look at the orders you have from the PGCL, so what are the areas that you are getting the orders from the PGCL and how big that package can be from PGCL?
So we are getting orders from PGCIL, like for example, we got orders for transformers, we got reactors, for projects. We have got two orders for building the, one for building a 765 kV GIS substation, one for building a 132 kV GIS substation. So it's basically multiple products and then from the regions we keep on getting orders for products as well. So it's multiple and it depends upon what kind of requirements. It can be from crores to 200 crores, anything.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next follow-up question from the line of Janak Lotwala, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir.
My question is around the order book participation. When we decide to bid for a certain business or participate for a certain order or a business, first, what is our hit rate? And second, what gives us or what is our right to win that order? What differentiates our offering or us from our competition?
So I think, it is very difficult to define a hit rate primarily because we have multiple lines of businesses. And, for example, we might sell a relay also, we might sell control relay panel also, SCADA also, breaker also, project also, transformer also. So it's very difficult. That is one thing. Because different products, different systems have different competition, different number of players. So it is very difficult to capture the hit rate. Second thing, again, as I said that, it is very difficult to also tell that what is our entitlement to win that order. But like for example, when you go to few utilities, there some utilities will have L1 pricing, some utilities will have kind of a reverse auction, some EPC customers, it's on negotiated basis. At some places it is a pre-bid agreement also, like with an EPC player, we will say that, okay, this is a pre-bid agreement for this scope. If you win, I win with you. So this is basically a different market strategy depending upon different market, different customer, different products. So it's a very dynamic, evolving situation. So it's very difficult to explain it like this is the one bullet which defines that, okay, with this bullet, we will be able to achieve all our objectives.
Got it. I think that very well answers that we are operating in a diverse set. But I think that really answers. Thank you, sir, for your experience.
Thank you, Janak.
Yeah.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Ms. Tanvi Gupta for closing comments.
Thank you all for joining us today for the GE T&D India Limited earnings call. We hope the insights provided by our speakers have been informative and valuable to you. We value the trust and support of our investors and analysts and ensure to remain committed to maintain transparent communication and fostering stronger relationships. If you have any further questions or require additional information, please do not hesitate to reach out to me or our corporate communications leader, Anshul Madaan, at the mail ID available on our company website. Once again, thank you for your participation in today's call. I'm wishing you all and to your family the happy Diwali festivities. We look forward to your continued support as we embark on an exciting journey ahead. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of GE T&D India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.